We are joined now in the studio by our friend Fireman Kenny.
Well, good morning, Rick. Good morning to all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny is on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I got my monthly shout out. So the first one, thanks to Rocco Bartolotta and the crew from Wolverine Fireworks. Again, another really fantastic show on July 4th down at the at Riverside Park. Thanks to them for everything they do. They really do take a lot of care in being safe as well as setting up a really, really, really great show. So I have enjoyed the show. I've been inspecting those for the last five summers. So it has been a really great working experience with Rocco Bartolotta and his crew. Thank you to Dan Olson of Sprinkler Fitters Local 183 in Menominee Falls for hosting the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Area 1 chapter meeting last month. This was the first in-person meeting for the Area 1 chapter since the COVID restrictions were put in place. Also, if anyone you know is considering a career as a fire sprinkler fitter, be sure to visit sprinklerfitters183.org.
I would imagine there's some specialized training involved in it.
Yeah, it'll be just like a plumber's, to become a journeyman. So you got to become a, what do they call it?
An apprentice
first. Yeah, you got to be a sprinkler apprentice. Then you can become a sprinkler journeyman. So it is, again, it's a great career because I know a lot. I deal with the sprinkler fitters on a regular basis. Great career to start in. So for people who want to get into the trades, the difference is, as my understanding is, the sprinkler fitters start lower than the plumbers, but they top out higher at the end. So, again, another great job. Another thing that is going to be in demand, especially around here, because with the building construction, we're building, you know, higher buildings and larger buildings, and they require sprinkler systems. So sprinkler fitting is going to be a trade of the future that is going to be in demand. So if anybody that's listening, any young kids that don't know what they want to do and want to explore it, again, go to sprinklerfitters183.org. And you can see if that'll be a career that you want to pursue in your future.
I'm going to guess that's a job that you're not going to be replaced by a computer at either.
No, that is one that is going to absolutely require human workers. So, essential workers. So if you, if you really want to be that, I think it's a great career from what I've seen. And so it's something that's going to be needed. And so any high school kids that are listening, if you don't know what you want to do, but you know you're good with your hands and you want to get in the trades, sprinkler fitting might be for you.
There we go. All right. Interesting.
And my last one, I have to mention 6-year-old Caden Becker. So this young man embodies the spirit of community and giving. One of Caden's young friends in his neighborhood has leukemia, and he wanted to raise some funds to help him out. Caden had a lemonade stand on June 12th to help raise funds for his friend. His mother, Abby, asked if the West Bend Fire Department could stop by. Caden was able to raise money not only for his friend, but also donated some of the funds to the Washington County Humane Society.
Nice.
Yeah, he seems like a really good kid. He was a little shy. He didn't want to take a picture with the firefighters, but when we talk about our futures and we talk about people that are selfless and have a community spirit, this is one of those great things that shows that the next generations are able to do this and are willing to do this. And so if someone is doing it, we really do have to give Caden Becker a shout out for his efforts.
There we go. All right.
All right. So moving on to monthly sprinkler saves, or also known as fires you never hear about, because there is no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I really haven't mentioned it, but I'm a member of the Wisconsin Fire Sprinkler Coalition. Be sure to follow the Wisconsin Fire Sprinkler Coalition on Facebook to see the latest sprinkler information and sprinkler saves. So this month, there were a number of sprinkler saves in Wisconsin. We really only cover 3 each month on the show, but I should highlight that there were 2 sprinkler saves in Green Bay, 1 in Manitowoc, 1 in Appleton, and I'll be talking about 1 of the 2 in Madison. So again, these fire departments are doing a really great job promoting the sprinkler saves. And again, sprinklers are saving a lot of lives, saving more lives than any firefighters ever have. So our first one, thank you to Deputy Chief Bob Tarks of the City Brookfield Fire Department for sending me this one. At approximately 1:17 a.m. on June 2nd, the City of Brookfield Fire Department was dispatched to an apartment fire on Taywood Circle. First arriving units reported light smoke from a second floor apartment window. The fire was contained to the kitchen of a single upstairs apartment unit and was nearly extinguished in part to the building sprinkler system that had activated prior to the arrival of firefighting apparatus and personnel. Two families were displaced by the fire and were assisted by the Red Cross. No civilian or firefighter injuries were reported. The cause is under investigation. All right, so 1:17 in a kitchen. 1:17 a.m. in a kitchen.
Somebody forgot a pizza in the oven, I'm guessing.
I think there's a common theme in these three. So the next one. So thank you to Adam Dorn of the Fitchburg Fire Department for sending me this one. A sprinkler system at a Fitchburg apartment building is being credited for saving lives and more than $1 million in property losses after a fire started early Saturday on a kitchen stove, the Fitchburg Fire Department said. A water overflow alarm at 12:26 a.m. 12:26 a.m. On June 12th in the kitchen at an apartment on Haylight Way initiated the fire department's response. In the meantime, a fire was reported in the building. Crews found smoke and water coming from one of the five apartments in the building, and smoke detectors were sounding.
That's good.
Yeah, it is very good. The building's fire alarm and sprinkler system were also activated. The fire was controlled by a single sprinkler head but had extended to the range hood and some of the kitchen cabinets. The resident told firefighters about starting to warm a pan of oil on the stove and then falling asleep in a nearby chair.
Say, that's a good plan at midnight.
I am shocked and dismayed that this happened.
Midnight.
Exactly.
I think I'll warm up some oil.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. What else is there to do? Yeah.
And we can, pan fry some hash browns later on.
Let's work on that. Yes. The resident was awakened by the alarms and evacuated safely along with two dogs. No injuries were reported. The resident and the dogs were displaced, but occupants of the other four units were able to stay in their apartments. The fire caused $10,000 to $20,000 in damage, but the fire department said the sprinkler system saved up to $1.2 million in property and contents.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If we're comparing, so people focus on the water damage, but the sprinkler did its job, and if you had a fire, it's going to cause more damage, and if we have to come in and spray water, we're going to cause more water damage. And as Greenfield Fire Chief John Cohn is fond of saying, nobody cares how much water damage there is on a total loss. So again, we're going to compare our loss statistics of how much the fire caused the activated sprinkler versus what if we didn't have a sprinkler system.
Right.
Because it's easier to dry things out than it is to unburn them.
Right.
And our last one, thank you to Ed Ruckriegel of the City of Madison Fire Department for sending me this one. This follows the theme of the previous two with kitchen fires. On June 11th at 8:43 a.m., so a little earlier than
that. They were making breakfast.
Yeah, somebody's awake at this point. The City of Madison Fire Department was dispatched to a fire in a 16-unit apartment building in the 5900 block of Milwaukee Street. Upon arrival, firefighters found an apartment charged with smoke and a sprinkler activation in the kitchen. Firefighters shut down the sprinkler system and ventilated the building with a fan. Damage was limited to the stove, microwave, kitchen cabinets, and some drywall.
That's pretty limited damage.
That is pretty limited damage. So about 7 or 8 years ago, the Fire Prevention Week theme was watch what you heat. So make sure if you are in the kitchen, no matter what time of day, please watch what you heat. So if it's on the stove, don't get distracted. Don't go to sleep. Just watch what you're cooking. That's all you need to do. You have one job. You have
That's
one
it.
Job. Yep.
That'd be it. So I saw up in the I mentioned as we were going through smoke alarms or smoke detectors working, and that gets us to our next.
So just a brief mention, just because I haven't had any installs. So just a reminder that the West Bend Fire Department still has free smoke alarms for installation in homes. If you need smoke alarms installed, you can call my office. The number 262-335-5055. I will install smoke alarms in your home as well as get the alarms free from the Red Cross and the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Charitable Foundation. So actually that charitable, the PFFW Charitable Foundation, that's a grant where we have to install all those smoke alarms in a year. So September's coming up where we have to have all of those smoke alarms installed. I'm lucky enough where I've had enough installs where I can actually, if I get a few more, I can actually call some of the other fire departments that are falling behind and get more smoke alarms so we can finish up that program. So again, if you need smoke alarms in your home, they're free. I'm going to come do it. 262-335-5055.
And please make sure you've got working smoke detectors in your home.
Yes, exactly. And test them once a month. So actually, I just had a call of one. I did five. It's hardwired interconnected alarms that we replaced. The resident went and bought those hardwired interconnected ones because what they did was hardwired interconnected with a battery backup. And they have the 10-year lithium ion battery backups because some of the ceilings were pretty high. So we replaced those. But what you need to do is test those once a month because he called because they were beeping. And so then I went over, I tested all five of them, and then they stopped beeping. So what we need, you have to make sure that you're testing some of these alarms once a month just because they do have an internal sensor in some units that will alert you that they need testing.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. So if you make sure to test them once a month, like you're supposed to anyway. And then again, remember that smoke alarms only have a 10-year lifespan and carbon monoxide detectors only have a 7-year lifespan.
Right. So at the end of that, get rid of them.
Right.
Recycle them somehow.
They
must recycle somehow.
Yeah. American Metal and Paper on Shanehar, they'll take them. They aren't going to give you anything for them, but they'll take them for free.
But they'll take them.
Yeah.
That's worth
so that way
something.
They don't end up in a landfill.
Sure,
yep.
Sure. Hey, it's July.
Yep, and July is National Grilling Month, so who doesn't love cooking brats and burgers on the grill? The sense of togetherness of a group that is having a picnic or tailgating is unparalleled when enjoying a great day outdoors and cooking on the grill. Grilling with friends is an event that promotes happiness and makes lasting memories for years to come. However, grilling isn't without risks. According to the National Fire Protection Association, July is the peak month for grill fires. Yeah. The grill that had not been cleaned, or I'm sorry, grills had not been cleaned in more than one quarter of home grill structure fires. So make sure to clean your grill. The leading area of origin for structure fires involving grills was an exterior balcony or open porch, and 44% of the property damage from grill structure fires resulted from fires that started there.
Or you're not supposed to have the grill to begin with.
Exactly. You're not supposed to be cooking. Well, okay, so the code says no storage on the grill. However, Wisconsin took exception when they adopted NFPA 1 and said no fuel can be stored with the grill and you're not supposed to cook up there anyway. But so hopefully in the next edition of the code, they just eliminate that exception and say no storage on those balconies because it is still causing too many fires when you're not supposed to be cooking up there anyway. Five of every six grills involved in home fires were fueled by gas, while the rest used charcoal or another fuel. So again, why wouldn't you use gas? It's just easier.
Right.
Gas grills were involved in an average of 8,900 home fires per year. Leaks or breaks were a primary problem with the gas grills.
Oh, sure.
And charcoal or other solid-fueled grills were involved in 1,300 home fires per year. So in order to prevent fires and injuries from grills, NFPA offers the following safety tips. Check the gas tank hose for leaks before using it for the first time each year. Propane and charcoal barbecue grills should only be used outdoors. Don't use them indoors. Don't use them in your garage. Don't put any smoldering charcoal briquettes in your garage. So we want to make sure that we want to be outdoors with anything that's burning. The grill shall be placed at least 10 feet from any structure, deck railings, fence, eaves, and overhanging branches. So for those of you in multifamily residential occupancy, you can store your grill on the first floor patio, but you have to move it at least 10 feet away from the structure when in use. So I get a lot of calls on this with people complaining that someone's cooking right on the balcony, smoke's going up into the upper apartments. So if you have your grill on your patio, you can store it there. You just have to move it 10 feet away from the building and 10 feet away from any balconies or overhangs to be able to cook with it at any apartment building.
Okay.
Keep children and pets at least 3 feet away from the grill area. Keep your grill clean by removing grease or fat buildup from the grills and in trays below the grill. If you use starter fluid, use only charcoal starter fluid. Never add charcoal fluid or any other flammable liquids to the fire.
butane would be a bad thing.
Yeah, or gasoline. So So this actually came because of so when I was in a UW hospital burn board meeting and we were talking about fireworks safety, and Dr. Angela Gibson actually said she said I actually treat more flammable liquid burns than I ever treat fireworks injuries. So I always make sure to press this point when we talk about having fires. Do not use and do not add flammable liquids to a fire. When you are finished grilling, let the coals completely cool before disposing in a metal container. So again, you're not just going to leave them there. You're going to put them in a metal container, put them away from the structure. So I can't tell you how many times we've had, like, let's say mulch fires because somebody dumped their coals in a mulch pile and started the mulch on fire, started the side of the house on fire. So put them in a metal container, metal bucket, put it away from the house and the shed and the garage.
There you go.
And never leave your grill unattended. So we talked about how you can't, again, I'm going to reiterate this. You can't have a grill above the first floor. Again, the code says you can store it there. You just can't cook with it. Again, so just not store it there. Just stay away from storing it above the ground level. And always keep safety in mind when using a grill. Following these safety tips will ensure an injury-free and fire-safe outdoor cooking experience.
I made probably the best steak I've ever made on Saturday night. It was a nice porterhouse, 2-pound hunk of meat that I got. And it cooked perfectly on the gas grill.
That's good.
Yeah. I may have only been 8.5 feet away from the building.
Well, we didn't get any calls for that, so I think you're safe for right now. But yeah, there always be 10 feet or more away.
But it turned out nice.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, my invite must have got lost in the mail for the.
This was the practice one.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't want to have people over for the first one you do in the season, right?
Right. Exactly. So you want to make sure that you are perfecting that steak ability to be able to made. So
absolutely, absolutely. But it was good.
Yeah, I can almost taste it. So, all right. So we've got. Moving into the same direction, since we talked about grill safety and it's summer, we're going to talk about fire pit safety. So in March of this year, we updated our fire code, which is Chapter 5 of the city ordinance. Outdoor burning is addressed in the code and separated into fire pits and outdoor fireplaces. So just for clarification, an outdoor fireplace is one of the commercially available wood-burning appliances that is portable and has a spark arrestor screen and cover. The requirements for the outdoor fireplaces are as follows. So 10 feet from a structure, 10 feet from a fence, overhang, or other combustible material, and 6 feet from a lot line. A fire pit is installed in the ground using a metal ring and surrounded by non-combustible material. A spark arrestor screen and cover are not required unless recommended by the manufacturer. So requirements for the fire pits are as followed. 25 feet from a structure. So that's what makes the difference is you've got the commercially available one that's 10 feet because it's got the spark arrestor screen and cover. But because the in-ground built-in fire pits, most of them are not requiring the spark arrestor screen and cover, we're going to give a greater distance to 25 feet.
Okay.
So 10 feet from a fence, overhang, or other combustible material, 6 feet from a lot line, a metal or non-combustible ring not greater than 36 inches in diameter, a minimum of 6 inches deep, maximum of 2 feet high, and surrounded by non-combustible material such as stone, brick, or concrete.
All right.
Permits are not required for burning with these appliances. So again, if you're just burning in your yard and they meet the requirements, you do not need a permit to have an outdoor summer fire.
Okay, now here's my question. If we get real dry again like we were, can you order people not to use those?
Yes. So the chief and I have talked about this quite often. So there is some provisions in the code that do allow the fire chief to stop outdoor burning, prohibit outdoor burning. But we have not instituted that as of yet. We continually watch the DNR website. So the Department of Natural Resources has a website that shows the fire danger.
Right.
It was actually up in the high area. Then after the rains, then we were back down to low and intermediate. So I think we're fine right now. But if there is a burn ban, we will make sure that that gets out to all the media. And we have not, as in the years I've been in the Bureau, we have not instituted a burn ban as of yet. Like, let's say for the fire pits, more than likely it would not be prohibited, but we would ask, like, let's say the areas we cover in the township, so the town of West Bend and town of Barton, not to do outdoor burning, just because, again, that in those areas, wider open areas that are drier, then we realistically wouldn't want those fires to spread.
Sure. Now, we're not in that DNR area, that however it is the DNR defines things, where the DNR controls permits, right?
Right. Yeah. There's no areas in southeastern Wisconsin that are covered by DNR permits. All of the local fire departments are the ones that would be issuing any of the permits.
Okay.
And again, the only thing we really issue permits for are like bonfires. So, like, let's say town of West Bend and town of Barton do have open burning, but they do not require a permit. They just have to call us and call the sheriff's department and call the town halls to make sure that they've got all that covered and somebody knows that they're burning. That way, if they call and somebody is driving by and thinks they see an out of control fire,
sure,
then we are aware of it. And that way, either the dispatch will call the person who has the permit, or it's not really a permit, but has the permission to burn, and to make sure that they are their fire's in control, and then we don't end up responding. But if there's an issue, then we will end up responding. Or if you don't call and you've got this outdoor burning and someone calls it in, then the fire department responds. And then for the townships, that's actually a charge,
sure,
because based on the contracts. So it could be a charge to the homeowner if they did not call in their open burning.
Sure. All right.
So then a reminder that the permits are required for the other type of open burning. So we do issue some permits for like bonfires and that sort of thing. So those permits are available online. You can go to our website, West Bend Fire Department website, and get that permit. Schedule those in advance. Fuel for outdoor recreational fires shall consist of natural wood or manufactured fire log material only, and may not include leaves, rubbish, garbage, trash, construction materials, any materials made of or coated with rubber or plastic, leather, or petroleum-based materials, and may not contain any flammable or combustible liquids. Flammable or combustible liquids may not be used to aiding in starting any outdoor fire. So again, I talked about that with the grilling. Again, there's so many issues with the flammable liquids and people not understanding how the flammable liquids work. They're giving off vapors. Most of those vapors are lowered to the ground because they're heavier than air. They will hurt you if you end up starting those on fire.
All right.
All right. So recreational fires shall be constantly attended and supervised by a competent person at least 18 years of age until the fire has been completely extinguished. The means for extinguishing any fire, as deemed necessary by the fire chief, must be kept immediately available at all times when a recreational fire is burning. Proper fire extinguisher equipment includes a garden hose, shovels, water buckets, or an ABC-rated fire extinguisher at least 10 pounds in capacity.
Okay.
Just a reminder that any smoke from a grill or fire pit is subject to the nuisance ordinance. If any smoke is entering the home of a neighbor, they can call the police and you may be ordered to extinguish the fire. Also, if by chance there is a structure fire started from a grill or fire pit, call the fire department even if you think you have it extinguished. Big fires start small. You may think the small fire you had from the grill or fire pit was extinguished, but it can get behind the siding and into the walls. Firefighters will use thermal imaging cameras to check for any extension. So we just had this on the north side of town. Some people, and everything was legit. They had the fire pit the correct distance from the structure, but somehow something must have blown under the deck, started the siding on fire. They got it out, but they were trying to get a hold of the building owner first, their landlord, before they ever called the fire department. So, So you need to call the fire department for any fire. Again, like I've talked about, we keep track of all this stuff. It helps with the statistics because this happens more than you ever realize, because things are happening all day, every day, and people that, if you never hear about it on the news, if you never hear people like me talking about it, you're never going to know that it's going to happen. So always keep the safety in mind, and anytime something happens, call the fire department for any fire that has started because of it.
Right, right. I get reports from different departments all over the place, and there was one that they think started in a recycle bin that started a building on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, recycle bins react strangely to flame. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, usually plastic is just solid gasoline.
Right.
When you have something that starts on fire and something that's made of hydrocarbon material and oils and gases, they're going to burn.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened in this one.
Yep.
And fortunately, minimal damage. I think it, scorched some siding on the garage, that kind of thing. Could have been a lot worse.
Right. And luckily, like in these instances, someone's usually home to be able to detect it and at least start firefighting efforts. But again, when you have these things, always be aware that just about anything can start a fire. And when you have a fire, call the fire department.
All right. That's what you're there for.
That's what you pay taxes for.
So. All right. What else is coming up in July and August?
All right. So for July, we've got UV Safety Awareness Month, Vehicle Theft Prevention Month. National Pet Fire Safety Day is July 15th, so make sure to keep your pets safe. For August, Smokey the Bear's birthday is August 9th. Oh, speaking of which, you know what? We missed McGruff's birthday.
Did we?
Yeah, McGruff's birthday was last month sometime, so we have to added that to the calendar. So happy birthday to McGruff, or happy belated birthday to McGruff. So also in August, Medic Alert Awareness Month, National Back to School Month, National Immunization Awareness Month, and August 1st through the 7th is National Stop on Red Week.
Not observed in the city of West Bend.
Well, I think it's worse in the city of Milwaukee and other big cities. But, so stop on red. So red lights, stop on them. Stop signs are red. Stop on those, too. Yield signs have some red. So at least slow down when you come up to a yield sign.
Yeah, I maintain that between 11:30 and 1 o'clock, during the week is the worst time to drive in West Bend, because everybody is, they're on their lunch hour. They're trying to get here. They're trying to get there. They've got the phone out because they're trying to figure out where they're supposed to be going, who they're supposed to be meeting for lunch, all that stuff. And it's just a mess.
Right. And drivers are so distracted and everybody's in a hurry. And we, as a society, because we're running 24 hours a day and everybody's got too much to do and no time to do it. Always practice safety, because, again, you're in a hurry. Now you blow a red light, you get an accident. Now your day is completely shot. How far behind are you going to be getting a car fixed and getting a rental while you're trying to get your car fixed? It just always slow down. Plan for your speed. Plan for your stops. And just let's be safe out there.
So what do you have to do at the fire station with 7th being under construction?
All right, so 7th Avenue is under construction now. So we actually just met with the construction crew this morning. So we've got other plans as far as sometimes during the day the trucks will be in the lot. So we'll be using Cedar Street. We've got our other routes to go. We can go down 8th or go over to Mill Street and go down through downtown. Go over to Indiana. Is that Indiana Avenue is actually the reliever route for 7th Avenue currently. Just be aware that there will be no parking on 7th from Washington to Walnut. And they will be trying to leave one lane open for us. But it's going to be very difficult to get up and down 7th Avenue. So, again, when you're calling for our services, just be a little patient if you live south of Station 1 and you're in Station 1's area, just because there will be some delays getting south out of the station for this next short period of time while they're reconstructing 7th Avenue.
Right, right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.